Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features Shavo Odagian, bassist for rock band System of a Down and founder at California-based 22 Red. This episode was recorded in person on July 6th, 2021.
420 was just right around the corner, past, you know, a couple months ago. Now we're getting into 710. I got to ask, you know, how was your 420? Was it good?
420 was good. We set up a little Southern California dispensary tour we did. Mm-hmm. We started at Lemonade, went down to Calma in LA, right by where you and I hung out the first time, and then moved to MMD, and I did some new strain drops. We dropped two new flavors that we never have had. We dropped the LA Punk, and we dropped the DC22, and those are just fire new strains that I'm also trying to take to other states right now. But it's such a long process now, you can't take cuts. So anyways,
it's hard,
yeah, it is what it is. So we did that, and it was taken in really well. It was just fun. I love to travel and do stuff, so I love being on the go. And it felt like being on the road a little bit. You know, going from one dispensary to the other, it kind of felt like a 3-show tour in one day. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it kind of is, you know, almost like a tour in the sense that you know, you have to go, you have to show these products almost as a performance.
As a song, it's a new strain. I got new strains I'm dropping. It's like playing new songs for people and kind of like being there. And like, I need to know about the strains, you know, I need to know what I'm selling, which I think all brands, brand ambassadors, brand founders, whoever's involved should know, you know, which is unlikely nowadays. You know, people don't know what they're even selling. So I have to know everything about it and be able to talk about it. So I go out there in these in-stores, and I give, anyone have any questions, I'm there to answer them. You know, I know A to Z on what strains and our flower and everything and how it's grown and everything about it, what the moms were, who the mom was of the plant, who the dad was, you know what I mean? The whole, you need to know all that.
You're an old school connoisseur. Like, I remember the last time we talked, you had mentioned when you went to Amsterdam with the band. Oof. And you did the thing with, what was it, Greenhouse
Seed Company, yes.
And you guys went up and actually did a sampling. And I believe at the time they had offered you like a large amount of a singular strain. You said, no, I want it all in different strains.
Yeah, just give me a little bit of everything.
So, I mean, that's not a mentality that exists a lot in this industry anymore,
True.
Especially for, you know, celebrity brands that are coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
When you're trying to decide what you actually want to launch with and you're doing your research and development, like what goes into the process for you in deciding what you want to bring to the consumer?
Well, it matters. Is it flower or concentrates?
Either or.
I mean, either or. I first have to see what's available to me.
Sure.
And then I have to see how our grower does with it. And it has to kind of fit that year's Rolodex of what we're going to be dropping. I don't want to drop only one style of you know, strains, like all indica or all hybrid, you know, because a lot of people are just dropping whatever's hot. Right. Like whatever's, if they have the hot gelato or the runt, they're going to exploit that and they're going to do 10 different cuts of it and call it all different things. I swear, these new brands coming out, they get one good gelato, they'll break it up in different strains, like, you know, and they'll sell it under 5 different names, bro.
It's almost the 215 era. Like, yeah. You know, I still remember like running shops during the 215 days. You would get like somebody would bring in like a Yoda or something like that, or a Skywalker OG.
Skywalker, was
and you'd
rat.
Be like, let's call this Millennium Falcon.
Uh-huh.
Let's call this Platinum OG. Just start diversifying the names.
I do believe in not all. Like, if the lineage is the same, I don't believe in all being the same exact. Because, dude, it's like naming your kids all the same because the mom and dad are the same. You can't, because one has more of the mom, one has more characteristics of the dad. So in that way, I understand, but you have to be honest with the consumer. You have to let them know. I always let them know. If I do that ever, if I find a different cut of such a strain that doesn't even have a name, but it's the same parents, but it just came out. Like, okay, when we started about 2 years ago, we had this. They call it Mimosa because the parents are Purple Punch and Orange Cookies, right? But ours did, I mean, I've tasted 3-4 different kinds where one is heavy on the Orange Cookies, one is heavy on the Purple Punch. You can't call it the same. It doesn't work that way for me.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
I'll always let them know it's a Mimosa cut. You have to let them know. You can't lie to your consumers.
Of course not.
So what I look for is something that fits that year's, I don't know how to put it, like collection, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I won't do all hybrids or all indicas or all sativas. I'll try to break them up. Also, it has to be kind of something I smoke, bro. If I'm not going to smoke it, I'm not going to put it in our bags or jars. I won't. There's no possible way. They all have to be somewhat something special about it. It's like a call it 22, you know? But it also matters. Like, there's so many strains that some people can't grow, some people can grow, so it all matters where it's coming from. You know, we've been allocating a couple of strains to a couple of growers and having them grow it for us just to see what's out there and who can do what, you know what I mean? I don't believe in just one, you know?
Of course.
So I'm feeling it out. For the concentrates, though, it's so different because, you know, I have the same guy taking care of it in Cali and in Nevada, but in Nevada, it's through another distribution, a different grow, but I still have him overseeing it. It's Marcus from Nature's Lab.
Nice.
And he kind of did all of the stuff. Remember you were talking about the pens we had when we started in 2018? Mm-hmm. He did them. He also did all our CBD stuff. Nice. I just kind of trust him. I trust what he does, and I know that, and I trust his taste. I really do, because it goes along with mine. It's in, you know, hand in hand.
Well, when you have somebody that you absolutely trust and you know that they're going to create the standards of practice that you want to follow, mm-hmm. and they can take that to your licensees or your partnered projects in other states, I mean, that's what you definitely need. You need that right-hand guy.
And they, whenever we do partner with someone new, I always let them know, even if they have their own concentrate guy or girl, I always say, I have someone that's going to oversee it, make sure, you know, he doesn't have to be the one to make it, but he has to make sure it hits our quota, you know,
of
what we need.
Well, because if you're going to slap your label on it, that's associated with your brand. If it's not a
exactly.
product, it's going to bring
it's
down
like, imagine if you were like Coca-Cola and you have different distributors, right? Because that's what Coca-Cola is also. If they didn't all do it the same or do it just as good, you're gonna have different flavors of Coca-Cola all over the place, and I don't wanna have that. So just, you know, it's hard with the cannabis now because it's still federally illegal, so it's hard, and then all the rules and all the regulations of every state is so different. But I try to do it as close as possible, which is really hard, man. It's hard when you're trying to scale and you're trying to find grows and distributors that are like-minded. You know, so when I do, I hold on.
Of course,
you know what I'm
of
saying?
Course. And the regulations here in California are definitely bar none some of the toughest in
Tough,
the country.
Bro. They take so much.
Well, thankfully, they're starting to merge, right? So the BCC is merging with the two other entities in order to help streamline that process.
True.
Taxation's still a problem here.
Major.
When you're looking at the totality of the California market since when you started in 2018, has it slowly gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Like, when you're looking at it as an operator, what do you feel?
Man, I don't know. It's always different. It just matters what situation we're in, you know? When we started, our supply was limited. And then we got, all of a sudden, our supply got crazy. And then recently, it's been boutique again, you know, where I'm not going to let anything go into my jars, you know? And so I'm hoping for better in the future.
When you're looking at the markets in differential between California and Nevada, obviously you're launching your concentrate line in Nevada instead of California.
Mm-hmm.
What went into the thought process behind going into Nevada first before going to California?
It's easy because I believe in having, I always wanted our concentrates to be strain specific to our strains. Like I said, our supply in California is not like it is in Nevada. Nevada, we have enormous amounts of growth. So we have a lot of greenhouse as well, which we're also launching our greenhouse brand, Sunkist. We're dropping that with the concentrates. So I think if you buy 1 gram of concentrates, I think you get an eighth of Sunkist for like a penny or something. It's really cool. So people will try it out, you know, have people, it's really good out there. So anyway, we use the same greenhouse stuff for our concentrates, but they're our strains. Like, it's the same Sunday school that you're smoking in the jar, you're smoking as a concentrate. It's the same Red Wedding. It's the same OG, which I can't do that yet in LA. Yeah, of course, I can find, my guy can go make other concentrates for me from different, but it won't be that. So I kind of, our brand is that. And I'm waiting for us to kind of take over another big grow here for us to do that for concentrates. But one at a time. Like I said, it's so different every state.
Do you have a timeline as a hope? Like say you had a canvas and you could paint it with a brush of your own. Like, what's your timeline to be able to launch here in California?
By Christmas.
By Christmas?
I would love it. And I'm looking next week, actually, when I get back from Las Vegas, I'm getting tours of two huge, huge, enormous grows up north. I want to check it out. If they can do it, I'm going to hand them a few of our strains and see how they grow it. And if they do well enough, we can have the Sunkist in Cali, including the concentrates.
Nice. And we're heading into the 710, obviously, the oil holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You're having an event with Jardine in Las Vegas. Can you kind of tell me about how that came to fruition and what people can expect?
Yeah, well, we launched in Las Vegas early like mid last year, right before the pandemic. So it was like we launched, 3 weeks later, we're locked up and Las Vegas closes. And Las Vegas was all about tourists, you know. Las Vegas, yeah, there are, of course, the locals, which is great. That's who's been keeping us going for the last year. But, you know, the whole thing is the strip, the, you know, the tourists that come in from other places that don't have weed, as, you know, it's their whole, it's like the new Amsterdam kind of vibe, you know. So it's kind of a relaunch of the brand. We actually planted a lot more, so our supply is more. As the demand is getting bigger, we're able to supply it, because that's been our big problem in Cali. It's like our demand is high and the supply is low, which is fine. It keeps us boutique and exclusive.
Sure.
But and I never want to be like throwing up at them where they get sick of my weed or our strains. But so this is the time, man. It was 710 rolled around. They had grown a lot. I went. I've been doing my diligence. I'm there every 2-3 weeks testing. I walk around with a clipboard, bro. I swear, I'm like counting plants, making sure everything's there, because it's so hard to keep track of every state and make sure they're doing the job right and nothing fishy is going on, because it's so easy to overlook things, you know what I mean? So I go out there with a clipboard, and they're like, dude, the founder, the dude from System of a Down, is like walking around with a pencil in his ear, you know, going like, is this, you know?
But that's the type of due diligence that you need to have in order to have a quality brand.
For sure, bro. And I agree with that. And that's my motto, and has been my motto since day one. I've said it before, and I'm always say it. You know, if you're not hands-on like that, I'm just another celebrity brand. And I'll stop, you know.
Sure.
I'll close doors if that becomes the case, because that's not what I'm in it for.
Well, and there's good quality celebrity brands that are out there.
Yes.
I believe that 22 Red is one of them. Again, I think that the impetus and the difference, I mean, look at, you know, somebody like B-Real.
He's the shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know,
that's
people that actually have passion for the plant, you know, similar to what you have, mm-hmm. or somebody like Burner who enjoys the plant a lot.
Yep.
Like, when you're looking at people like that versus people that don't have that type of passion, do you think it's possible for those brands to win on name alone, or is passion the absolute driver?
They're making money, though. I'll be honest. Some of those brands, the big names that don't smoke, but they're putting their name on, they're making money. They're getting big rewards from other brands coming in, bigger brands that are, you know, paying them out, you know. But it's longevity, you know. It's longevity, and I'm not doing it for just the business of it. I'm doing it for the fact that, you know, for 20 years I've smoked. Everyone always asks me, what are you smoking? How can I get what you're smoking? Well, now you can. And that's been my whole thing, is like to give the quality that comes my way to everybody else. Because I do get a lot of things, you know, coming my way that most people don't. You know, I'm getting strains, seeds coming at me from South Africa, from all over the place that I'm going to be planting soon and hunting. I can't wait to do that. You know, I'm going to bring you stuff that no one has. I mean, not no one, but you know what I mean, in our area. So that's been my thing. So I don't know, man. To each his own, you know. I don't want to knock anyone, and I wasn't knocking anybody by saying the celebrity brands don't.
No,
but
no.
I've just seen it come across me a few times where they're holding a bag of something that looks B, and they're talking about it like it's like the Holy Grail. And there's going to be people that are going to fall for that.
Of course.
They're going to go buy it, and they're gonna, you know, it's like the kind of stuff where when you get it out of the bag and you grind it, it turns to like sand or powder. Like, that's what I don't like at all from any brand, you know? And I think that's out there a lot.
But when you look at that passion, you know, again, taking it back to Amsterdam and you sitting down with Yoa from Greenhouse.
Yoa and Arjan, yeah.
I mean, you're basically trying to be the American strain hunter in a sense, you know, for that celebrity style. You really, really enjoy the plant. You enjoy pheno hunting.
I love it. It's such a passion that I don't even know where I got that from. It's just so weird, but I really do love it. I love coming up with it, and I love, you know, I always, before we started, I had this idea. I still haven't done it, but I'm thinking, like, you know, we have a certain Rolodex of strains we have right now in our, you know, catalog. I'm thinking about getting, like, a really, like, high sativa and crossing it with all of them and getting a sativa of all of our indicas. Or getting a nice hybrid of all, like, changing up the effect, but keeping the taste and the smell probably.
It's almost like what a suicide with different sodas when you put it under there and just start
kind of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like kind of mixing the Dr. Pepper with the Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper with the Pepsi, Dr. Pepper with the Sprite, you know, and
exactly.
Seeing what the Sprite tastes like with the pepper in it. And, you know, I like, you know, I used to do that before. I still do it, actually. I'll get two strains, I'll crush them up, and I'll roll J's, mix them up, see what they taste like. It's not the same. But you know what I mean.
Well, when you look at the education of the general consumer, obviously when the industry first started, it was all about indica, sativa, hybrid. It was all about what's the highest THC percentage. Nowadays, people are more looking at cannabinoid and terpene profile makeups. Yes. Do you expect that type of education and consumer like mindset to expand, or do you expect it to retract back into, hey, I just want high THC?
There's going to be two styles. There's many styles of smokers. Some are always going to care because they want to know, you know, and some don't. Some just want to know what it does to them, you know, and I think, I don't think it's going to go into one direction. I really don't. So I took a couple of, about our concentrates. I found out a few things we did with them, so I wanted to let you know. So there's no CRC done to it.
You're not doing color remediation?
None of that, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I mean, this is pretty basic stuff. You know, it's all just pulled from our own cultivation. So there's no extra terps put in or anything put in, which is the way I wanted it, man. I didn't want it to be like... distillate style shit, you know, where you add the taste. And
it makes it, I mean, again, true connoisseurs, they want the full plant experience, you know, the whole injecting different types of terps, especially artificial terps if you're doing something like a pen or a concentrate. Like, it's not what the consumer wants.
No, even when we did these pens early on, where we added terps to it, it was steam-derived real
cannabis real instead of artificial.
Yeah, so... You know, I'm always trying to keep that going with it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the reaction is. So far, anyone I've smoked out with it, they trip out. They say it's top of the line.
Well, I
can't wait for you to try it.
Yes, and I definitely do want to try it. Honestly, I can't wait for you to bring it into the California market. I feel like here in California, we're kind of the impetus, the connoisseurs of the concentrate, you know, line.
We are.
In the entirety of the industry. I mean, obviously, you could probably get cheaper concentrates in maybe Oregon or Washington, but I don't think many people up there are doing, like, crazy stuff like they are down here.
There's a lot going on there, and I think there are boutique growers and lab rats out there that do what they do, and it's hard to find those, you know? Mm-hmm. But as a big thing, no.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. And I think it's always going to be like that. Even when it comes federally legal, I think things coming out of Cali is going to be a little... It's like, you know, when they say up north with wine and all that, you know, where Napa Valley, that's what it's known for. So, you know, it's like you could get wine somewhere in the Midwest, but it ain't going to have, you know...
Yeah, you're not going to want it. It's Napa Valley. It's got that brand. It's got that flavor because that's where it's grown. Are you seeing a possibility for federal legalization maybe in the next 5 to 10 years?
Maybe 5 to 10, not 1 to 5. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that Chuck Schumer said he wanted federal legalization through the Senate, but I mean, clearly that's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen in the coming year or two. I know that much. Yeah, there's a lot of changes happening, but let it slow down too. I don't want it to be federally legal so soon right now. I kind of want to build what we're doing and get us.
Well, and
get our hands in the ground, like, you know, bolted.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, exactly. So figure out how to do it properly first.
Yes.
Because again, not one state has it perfect.
No.
Each patch
states are just crazy.
Oklahoma. Oh my God, bro.
800, 900 stores.
Dude.
Patients a day.
What is it? Yeah, $2,500. Yeah. Anybody's got $2,500, $5,000.
You get a license. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You want to be vertically integrated? You know, $15,000. You're good.
Everyone from here is there doing it. Yeah. It's just a mess right now. So we'll see what happens. We're actually talking to a couple of people out there.
Well, it's definitely jumping. I mean, the consumer, and I think that it has to do with the fact that there's not a lot of states in that area aside from there that have those
types
of laws.
That's right. So all of Texas is going
there. Oh, dude, I mean, do you see a possibility for maybe Texas going legal? And if that happens, will Oklahoma
know, bro. I don't know. It's crazy. These are all just assumptions or predictions because, you know, they're very apart from the rest of us, you know.
Right, right.
So you never know when one of them, but they are conservative. So I'm saying they're different, they're conservative, but they might. I don't know, man. It's like the weirder things have happened.
But that's what blew my mind about Oklahoma. Such a conservative state, and they had the single most liberal cannabis laws in existence.
I mean,
I was hearing basically it was 215 style shows out there, just slabs.
Slabs.
Just everybody getting
That's
ripped.
What I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Marcus is out there. He's got a lot going on from Nature's Lab over there.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, do you anticipate other states kind of going that extreme, or do you see it maybe a middle
I don't anticipate it. I kind of want to, I hope they learn from the mistakes that they're making over there, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are going to lose fortunes. Yeah, some are going to make it, but a lot are going to lose it because they think that they're going all in and there's no risk, you know, but it's too many people going in.
That's true.
There's too many people going in one place, and a lot of people are going to fall through the cracks.
That almost reminds me of during the 215 days here in the Valley, because right now we're in North Hollywood, California. Yes. I mean, during the Valley and the 215 days, I remember dispensaries stacked on top of each other. You know, $35, $30 private reserves out the door. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was hard for a lot of brands to stay in business.
To stay in business with the prices that were going on with everybody.
Because you're literally trying to undersell everybody around you, and I mean, it's a race to the bottom at that point. Are you worried that could potentially happen in
I'm not worried. I think our brand has a name right now, and I think as long as I keep the R&D going, and I feel like as long as we keep it where it is, it's always going to be, you know, respected for what it is. And I don't think there's no competition really, bro. Like, there's lanes for everybody.
Sure.
I feel like we're all in our lane and we're going. I've never stepped on anyone to get to where I'm at in any part of my life, and I never will. And I feel like, let's just keep it that way and think positive.
Well, and you guys got great products. Like I said, you know, your pens are fantastic. Your flower is great. I, again, haven't tried the concentrate line yet. Smelled fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to see what you guys are able to do in the Las Vegas region, especially with now COVID kind of coming, you know, not necessarily to an end, but tampering down. And start to open back up.
Oh, yeah, it's packed over there, bro. I couldn't even get the room I wanted. Like, the room I get every time I go is taken. But, you know, which is nuts. The flights are all gone. I'm like, fuck, I'm going there Thursday. I'm coming back, like, Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because I don't want to drive.
Well, in the Nevada market, I mean, especially Las Vegas, they just finally passed social use laws in the area. Are you hopeful for kind of a Southern California situation?
It would be nice. It'd be nice. Yeah.
Are you hopeful for a return here in Southern California for hours to open back up?
As in, like, the Lowell spots?
Yeah, like OG Cannabis Cafe?
Yeah, are there none now? I mean, I haven't been keeping up with it.
They're not in operation for the extent that you can't.
But what's the reason?
Well, because COVID laws.
Oh, because of COVid. Yeah. Oh, okay, well, yeah, I mean, it'll come back.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
It was kind of dirty anyways. Like, I wanted to know more cleaning, you know? It's kind of like after I started freaking out, after I thought about...
Oh, everybody's smoking.
Everyone's smoking out of everything, and I heard all that stuff going on. I don't know if it was true or not. People contracting some stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like,
so
that weirded me out. There is a spot in Vegas called the New Woo.
Yeah, New Woo. Yeah. They're on an Indian reservation.
Yeah. So they can smoke inside, consumption, everything. Mm-hmm. I actually want to go visit them when I'm there.
Yeah,
so.
It's a pretty nice spot.
Yeah,
I haven't been. MJ BizCon, oddly enough, speaking of Lowell, they had a Lowell Cafe pop-up at New Woo during
They did?
Yeah, at the 2019 MJ BizCon, right before everything kind of
I was there.
Oh, shit.
I didn't go to the New, but I was there at that in Vegas.
It was an incredible experience. So kind of putting a nice little ribbon on everything and looking at where you guys want to be this time by Christmas. You had mentioned that you want to have concentrates here in California.
Mm-hmm.
You're launching your concentrate line on 710 at Jardine in Las Vegas. What did the next...
In Arizona.
Oh, in Arizona. The adult use market finally opened back up.
They're good. We're also doing the same thing that we're doing in Cali there. We're looking for an outdoor grow for the Sunkist and for all the concentrates there. So I just want to do what we're doing in Las Vegas in all three.
Gotcha.
Hopefully by Christmas, I'll have Arizona too.
But in Arizona right now, you do have your pens and you do have your flower line, right?
We stopped doing the pens. We have flower, we have actual eighths, and we have joints,
pre-rolls. Gotcha. Awesome. Well, if you can look at the next, say, 2 to 5 years for your brand, where do you want to be from now?
Kicking ass. I don't know. Like, we've been putting together a few other cool little things that are not weed related or cannabis related. We're doing this thing called Framed by 22, which is we're using our platform to frame or to honor creatives. Like, I really appreciate anyone that is creative and likes to do things and be inspires me, you know? So if I can inspire them at all, I would love to. So I kind of building a platform where we can show people that, you know, go film, go write songs, go write poetry, go do what you do, what comes out of it just naturally, and you put it, you know, it's something you should be doing. And so we're kind of doing that with Framed. And then we've been doing this whole skateboarding thing. We have a skating team starting in Arizona. I just did an event out there where it was on Skate Day, Go Skate Day, on the 21st of last month, June. We had a skate ramp inside this common area where there was like burger spot, like there was a pizza spot and a bar, and everyone was just kind of like skating and enjoying and interacting. It felt like COVID that was gone. You know, it was really a fun thing to like see everybody come together, because that's what it is. It's a lifestyle brand. 22 altogether wasn't meant to be only cannabis. It was all my little endeavors, just kind of put together my likes and dislikes, kind of like put in one, and kind of that's what the brand was.
Sure, sure.
And lifestyle brand. Lifestyle. Yeah. So skateboarding is a part of that. You know, honoring the creative minds inside of us is another thing. And I think I found a great angle with the cannabis, because that's what cannabis does. Kind of makes you a little creative if you're just smoking a hybrid sativa, which I love to do personally. So I'm just giving that out to our people. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Well, you know, being somebody that's been in the industry for a couple years now, if you had any advice to give to new operators jumping into the market, what would it be?
Stay true to yourself and don't run people down to get to where you're going. I see people that are corrupt in this industry. I see a lot of people. I've met a lot of... I don't want to point anything out, but there's a lot of corrupt people doing this just for the buck, stepping on people, stealing from people, being dishonest, and they're getting away with it. Just don't do any of that, so you'll last, you know? And just, I want to see it thrive, man. Right. I want to see it thrive and become a really good business and create jobs for a lot of people.
Brand integrity, you know, is key. Awesome.
Very key, yeah.
Chavo, founder of 22 Red, also founder and bassist for the band System of a Down. Really appreciate everything you got going on and look forward to seeing your launch in Las Vegas.
So. Thank you, brother. Thank you for talking to me. Hell yeah.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
We would like to thank Chavo for his time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about 22 Red by visiting them online at www.22red.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.